Hurricane Sandy has forced thousands of people in New Jersey out of their homes. That includes residents of the barrier island that lines the Jersey coast. For now, at least, they're banned from living in their homes. Over the weekend, NPR's Elise Spiegel visited a shelter set up in a public school gym where island residents are staying. She has this story about one night there and a few of the people she met.
It's dinner time at the Red Cross shelter, and the volunteers are working hard to keep things reassuring. And so as the residents line up in the cafeteria, one of the Red Cross women starts waving her arms for attention.
Excuse me, everybody. Is there a Jan and a Manny in the house?
Right here.
Right here. Okay, everybody.
Happy anniversary!
Jan and Manny D'Annunzio have been married for 38 years. They met in the 70s, they tell me, at the bar Manny owned.
I saw him, and when I saw him, I said, see that man? I'm going to marry him.
I think ever since, we've been pretty much, we moved in together.
Really?
By the end of the year, the same year.
Manny, a stocky 61-year-old Italian, and Jan, who's tiny and from New Jersey, came to the shelter the night before after they were forced to leave their home in Seaside Heights. Now, most of the world knows Seaside Heights from the reality show Jersey Shore. But Jan's relationship with Seaside began decades ago, when she was just a teenager.
Oh, it was like a must-do. As a kid, you worked all fall and winter to save that money for that week in the summer. Seaside Heights was the place to go.
Seaside Heights actually occupies a big place in Jan's emotional world. So big that when I tell her that I have never been there, she is genuinely scandalized. She cannot believe it. Just as she cannot believe that her husband actually bought them a house in Seaside 5 years ago.
Never in my wildest dreams thought he would buy a place in Seaside Heights.
But Manny did, secretly, to please her. He bought the house on the sly, then took her to see it, claiming he'd rented it for just a couple weeks. It was a modest place with a couple of apartments out back Manny planned to rent to bring in enough money to pay for everything. He says that she walked in and she loved it.
She goes, so how long can we have you? How long are we going to stay? So that's when I start telling her, guess what?
Now, hearing this story makes it easier to understand why Jan and Manny behaved as they did during the storm. See, Jan and Manny didn't evacuate. They spent a terrifying night riding out the storm in their home. At one point, they had to use a picnic table as a boat. Then, even after the storm had clearly destroyed their town, they refused to leave.
We were there for 4 days.
For four days.
The streets of Seaside Heights after the storm were filled with sand, as high as 4 feet in some places, and everywhere there was the hiss of broken gas pipes. But somehow, Manny and Jan couldn't absorb that. They were in denial.
I said, you know what? Probably tomorrow A&P's going to open up. Probably the convenience store over there is going to open up. We're going to be okay, I told her.
So they started cleaning up. There was no light, there was no heat, but they still had gas for their stove, so Manny was able to make morning coffee for his wife. But then the fire department turned off the gas, which was the breaking point.
They had cut the gas. Yes, I think when I just kind of lost
it. Yes, I did. Yes, it was the gas.
Without a stove, Jan told Manny, they couldn't make it. But even then, he wouldn't agree. He brought the grill out.
I said, you know, we lost the gas, we lost the heat. I said, this is a grill. It's just like a stove. It's just like a stove, I said. And we're going to use it to put in a Mr. Coffee, the brewer.
Don't worry, because we're going to be all right. And I said, that's it. I can't do it anymore.
And so they left.
I cried. I didn't cry like a baby. This rolled down my face. I locked the place up. And as I was closing the units up, the apartment, it hit me. When am I going to come back? What is going to happen? Where is everything? Nobody can give you an answer.
That is the question. When can people move back? Manny and Jan have been asking everyone, and everyone has a different answer. 2 months, 6 months, 9 months. The problem for Manny and Jan is that financially, they need the apartment rentals in the back of their house to survive. They figure that they can last for a bit, but...
But if this goes on, starting 4 or 5 months...
We're done.
Can people survive? Financially? Emotionally? That's what everyone at the shelter was asking. And so, to keep the dark thoughts at bay, The Red Cross arranged for a local entertainer to perform in the cafeteria. At 8 o'clock, a very nice woman with very tall hair took the stage. It was a strange scene. She would sing and then do things like invite the sheltered children on stage for their own performances.
This is Connor Jr., everyone, and he's going to sing a song for you. You ready? Okay.
Banana phone,
okay, yay. All right, yay, cool, very nice, thank you. I know you made people smile with that. Thank you, Connor. All right, this is something from the Commodores. A little bit older, too.
In the hallway outside, a 28-year-old woman named Jennifer Ruiz and her 2-year-old daughter were also singing.
I love you. You love me.
We're a happy family.
At that moment, though, Jennifer was not, in fact, happy. She was sad, but she didn't want to share that with her daughter, who she calls Mumu.
How do you tell a 2-year-old we don't have a home to go to? We don't have anything.
Jennifer, like the D'Annunzios, lived in Seaside Heights. But unlike them, she evacuated during the storm with her fiancé, his parents, and Mumu. They went to stay with her brother, but decided to come to the shelter after a few days because things were getting tense. She's upset about this, upset about everything, but doesn't want her daughter to know. And so she's pretending that she feels fine.
Just act like it's like a regular day, like nothing's out of the ordinary with my daughter. I'll still play with her. I'll still feed her. I'll still laugh with her.
It's clear that keeping her emotions under control is very important to Jennifer.
Because I don't want to be weak, and I don't want to lose it. When you're crying, you think of the worst, and you lose hope.
And Jennifer can't lose hope because, deep breath, since Sandy hit a week ago, she hasn't been able to get in touch with either her mother or her oldest daughter, an 8-year-old who lives with her ex. She's called and called them both, checked Facebook, contacted family, but
there's no communication whatsoever, and I don't know if they're okay.
Well, how are you doing? Are you okay?
It's just sad because I don't have my family.
Even before the storm, Jennifer had a difficult life. Though she has a good job, her relationship with her ex has been very difficult. And she recently got into a huge fight with her mom.
It was something so dumb, but she just stopped talking to me and I just stopped talking to her. Like, both being stubborn, like not wanting to be the bigger person and say sorry, but how are you?
And then came the storm and her older daughter and everything. And she says her thoughts have been cycling and cycling.
There's like too much going on. To be honest, like, I don't have a main focus or a main thought right now. It's too much. Like, when I start to think about, like, oh my God, are they okay? Or are they thinking about me? Like, as I'm thinking about them, it's like emotionally, like, I'm a wreck.
Still, with Mumu, she is her normal self, or something near her normal self. At 9, she tries to put Mumu down to sleep in the gym, where close to 100 people are going to be sleeping on narrow green cots.
Come on. You lay your head right here. Good girl.
Mumu doesn't seem ready to sleep, but Jennifer still tries.
I love you.
I love you.
Give me a kiss. Give mommy a kiss. Mwah.
Mumu lies down, but all around her people are moving, so it's hard to sleep. And half an hour later, she's up again. It's past 11 before Jennifer and Mumu actually get to sleep. And even then, like almost everyone else in the room, their sleep is fitful. How can it not be? Like Manny and Jan and all the people lying on the narrow green cots around them, their future is so uncertain. They don't know where they will live or what they will do or what tomorrow will bring. Elise Spiegel, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.